Christ is baptized.
In the Jordan.
We have the leave taking of the feast tomorrow, so the icon is still here. We give great reverence to the occasion of Christ's baptism and his sanctification of the waters. We discussed last week that John was baptizing with a baptism of repentance. And we notice from today's gospel that Jesus, if you would, continues that message. From that time on, in Matthew's gospel, from that time on, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So Jesus preached also the gospel of repentance. And that message has continued and will continue to be preached throughout the world until the end of time. Let's look then at Luke's gospel right at the end, the 24th chapter. Jesus is speaking and he says this: "That it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So we continue to preach that message of repentance. Father Anthony Kouniaris is an Orthodox priest who's a very good and a very prolific writer. I may have read things by Father Kouniaris. Poor guy needs to have a better publicity, I guess. There's a lot of good books. He's also, I believe, still the president of Light and Life Publishing. Okay? And there's a lot of good materials that you can read from him. And maybe I give him a plug here today because a lot of the homily comes from one delivered by him for the Sunday after Theophany. Now, repentance is godly sorrow for our sins. Godly sorrow. You know, worldly sorrow can lead to despair, depression. But that's not the sorrow we're called to have for our sins. We're called to have godly sorrow. Forgiveness leads to salvation, and that's what we get from our godly sorrow, hopefully. Godly sorrow will lead to our forgiveness of sins. You know, when you come to confession, what do I say to you? Okay, at the end, just before you start your confession: "Remember that I am a sinner worse than you, who serves only as a witness to your repentance, your godly sorrow for your sins." Salvation establishes, so forgiveness then leads to salvation. We come here, we are forgiven of our sins, that leads to our salvation, and salvation establishes the kingdom of God in our hearts. Repentance is not merely a negative battling against sin and evil. It's also and primarily a positive progress toward God. Repentance is the compass, if you would. The first step, the map, the rations for the journey, whatever it takes to make the theosis, the journey of becoming more and more godlike. Repentance is the very basis of that. The godly sorrow for our sins. Because if we don't have sorrow for our sins, then we certainly can't even think that we have any theosis. We're not moving toward God. We're either moving forward or we're going backward. It's that simple, right? Christ said, "He who is not with me is against me," and so on. Meaning there, he even said, "Would that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I vomit you from my mouth." So there is no standing still with Jesus. Either we're moving toward theosis, in theosis. We're moving forward and forward, more toward that God-likeness that he created us, right? In the image and the likeness of God. Or we're going backwards. Never are we standing still. Because even the thing about it, if you thought you were standing still, you're moving backwards. Okay? So repentance is preparing the heart for God to enter. God came to establish residence not in the moon or the stars above, but in your heart. In Luke's gospel, Jesus said this in the 17th chapter, in the 21st verse: "Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Jesus said that. Not Father Joseph. I'll just repeat what Jesus said. Okay? The kingdom of God is within you. And that kingdom has to be brought forth and recognized. You know, a farmer once was made an instant millionaire when they discovered oil on his property. Now, the treasure was always there. But he never knew it. He never discovered it. He never looked for it. And that's like many Christians who have been baptized but have never claimed the treasure God has given them. And that treasure is the presence of God within them. Right? We sing, all you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When we're baptized, Christ is within us. And we have to make contact. St. Isaac the Syrian says this about the kingdom of God within you. He says, enter eagerly into the treasure house that is within you, so that you will see the things that are in heaven. The ladder that leads to the kingdom is hidden in your soul. Dive into yourself, and there within yourself you will find the stairs by which to ascend. So often we're looking for this magic formula. Sometimes we have people go church to church. At one of these I'll find that magic formula. But it's within us that is the kingdom. And we have to bring it out. God's come to us. We have to make contact. Augustine said this of the presence of God within him. He says, I, Lord, went wandering like a strayed sheep, seeking thee with anxious reasoning without, whilst you was within me. I went round the streets and squares of the city of this world seeking thee, and I found thee not, because in vain I sought without for him who was within myself. One way by which the kingdom of God becomes a reality within us is by doing God's will. We talked about that in our series, if you would, on repentance. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus is telling us that the kingdom of God comes when we do his will. Kingdom of God and will of God are tied together. The one does not come without the other. When Christ comes to rule as king in your heart, he will govern your heart so that you may love only what he loves. He will govern your mind that no unholy thought be allowed to take root within you. And he will govern the books you read, the TV shows that you watch, the websites that you visit, the companionships and friendships that you form. He will govern the methods of your work and your business, the investment of your money, the way you spend your leisure. All will be under his kingdom. He will not be king unless he is king of all. We must surrender our will to his will. And every time we fight against his will, that's we saw, I think it was last week I talked about, well, that's when bad things come to us. If we truly believe that God is indeed within us, then we need to take time to become acquainted with this important guest who dwells within. If God is within you, is he there as a stranger? Or is he there as a loved one? St. Gregory Palamas said, there is a real kingdom within us, the kingdom of God. It is our privilege to explore this kingdom through prayer. That's how we plumb the depths of our soul to find our God. We must make time to establish an intimate prayer relationship with the God who is within through quietness and solitude. It takes a lot of practice to become mentally quiet and physically relaxed. But once we've touched this inmost center of our being, we will always remember it and we will never be satisfied until we have come into close communion with God. If you develop this practice, you'll find yourselves turning often to the inner presence. You'll find yourself becoming quiet during the day, often turning to this inner presence. You'll find yourself becoming quiet during the day for short periods of time. And there'll be quiet breaks, even more important than coffee breaks. They will help establish a mental, emotional, and spiritual balance in your life as you come to experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. Paraphrasing a classic quote, if you desire true contrition of heart, enter into thy secret chamber and shut out the tumults of the world in silence and in stillness. Shut the door and call upon Jesus, thy beloved. Stay with him in the chamber, for thou shalt not find so great peace anywhere else. We have to make the time to pray. And we have to pray in solitude. I know people say, oh, I pray when I'm driving the car. I don't know about you, but I find that real difficult. There are many distractions leading us astray while we're driving. It's not a peaceful time. We say, do we pray every day? Well, I get up in the morning and I say, Lord, everything this day for you. See ya. Not much of a relationship with our God. We need to take the time to close the door, go to a quiet place. But I don't have any quiet place. I've got the kids and all that. Make the time. If we were sick of body, we would make the time for the healing. We need to have time for the soul to heal with the great physician. We need the time for the soul to receive love from the great lover. And that can only occur when we make the time and pick the place to be quiet and to be praying and to be in the presence of our God. If the kingdom of God is within you, then with you is the power of God. If the kingdom of God is with you, then with you is the love of God. If the kingdom of God is within you, then within you is the peace of God. If the kingdom of God is within you, then with you is forgiveness, joy, truth, light, and eternal life. Has the kingdom come for you? We need to examine each of us, our own hearts, and be truthful. Has the kingdom come? Or have we failed to even recognize its presence and its treasure as the farmer did with the oil under the ground? The Lord said, what? I stand at the door and knock and wait. He won't break down the door. We need to open it. But he's waiting. It will come if you will repent and turn your life over to Jesus. For the kingdom of God is indeed not way up in the heavens beyond the moon and stars. The kingdom of God is within you. Thus we pray, what? Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, who art everywhere present and fillest all things, treasury of good things and giver of life, then what? Come and abide within us. Come and live in us. Thus, let us repent. Let us have godly sorrow for our sins. Let us be refreshed by the presence of the Lord. I leave you with this quote from Peter's sermon that occurs after he's cured the man when he goes up to the temple. And this can be found in Acts, the third chapter. He says to the Jews, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He's telling us, if we repent, refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.